You could put on your virtual headset and a some kind of immersive environment of a herd of stampeding elephants.
Yeah. And yeah. I have a haptic ceiling.
Yeah. Right.
Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 4 for Friday, May 1st, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we go deeper into the reality of virtual reality. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. So last week, we talked about the virtual reality sci-fi book Ready Player One.
Yes.
And how it could possibly become reality at some point, and what effects that might have on the way we interact with the world and society and social mores and stuff like that. And it turns out we might have been drastically underestimating the timeline.
Yeah, I think we might have been.
Yeah, after the episode was over, we sort of plugged in some more research and kind of Googled around some of the ideas that we might have had.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for example, I went to the Second Life homepage. You know, I haven't been to Second Life in a long time. I haven't been to Second Life since
2003.
Right. Yeah, me neither. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go check out and see if it's changed at all. And boom, right on the homepage, big, huge picture of an Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so I don't know if we talked about this on the show last week, but at some point it was like, whoa, what if Facebook bought Second Life?
Yeah.
Second Life has had a pretty steady million users since like 2003. And
yeah, which is crazy. You don't hear about it much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just not news anymore. It's what, 11 years old?
Yeah, I guess. But I'm sure in that time, their technology has kept upgrading and updating. And
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
The ecosystem of people creating virtual goods has exploded. I mean, there's, you know, we both saw that video on the homepage, mm-hmm. where they have this montage of everyday people from, you know, 18 to 80 interacting with Second Life and saying things like, you know, the majority of my income is based on Second Life, or Second Life, you know, grandma saying Second Life is allows me to be my true self. And, you know, it's like,
not stuck in this 84-year-old body. And
yet I want to see her avatar so bad. It's right. Probably like some kind right. of like, yeah. What are those called? Furry animes.
Yeah. I know a guy who used to make money making and selling things in Second Life. I don't know if he made a living off of it, but I know he made a decent chunk of his living doing it.
It's funny when you go to this site, because the navigation is almost disturbing on the website. It's like, shop, buy land. It's weird. It's like, it's stuff you do in the real world, but it's all virtual.
But it's all virtual. And I stumbled across yesterday virtual news channels that are broadcasting live news in Second Life.
So you can hang out in Second Life and get your news. So, yeah, I mean, there was, so just to give you, just to give the dear listener, the dear robot listener, an idea, you know, I go on the homepage, I'm click shop, like, what can you buy? And there's like categories that, you know, everything from furniture for your virtual apartment to body parts for your avatar. And I do mean all body parts. And it's like, you know, you do a search or whatever, and down at the bottom of the page, you know, where you can like go to next page.
Yeah.
There's like 25,000 pages or 25,000 results for, you know, a big search, like a vague search, but there is tons and tons of stuff. You can buy tattoos and,
when it's all virtual, you're not limited by like product supply chains and the cost of getting things to market and all that.
Yeah. You're basically limited to your imagination and design skills.
Now, are you buying this stuff solely with, well, no, it's not solely with, but can you buy this stuff with virtual currency you earn in the virtual world?
They have this thing called Linden Bucks that you can spend inside the game. So you convert real dollars to Linden Bucks. And if you upgrade your account to like a pro account, it's like $80 a year or something like that. You get 300 Linden Bucks a month. Mm. And I don't know what that translates to in terms of how much stuff you can get, but,
yeah. And then I think you can also get like jobs inside the virtual world to earn more money and things like that.
Yeah. You can have people build stuff for you in there. If you don't have time to build your virtual space.
And pay someone else to do it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Let me go to the marketplace. The categories, there's a bunch of categories, animals, animations, apparel, art, audio and video. Okay, that's all normal. Then you can buy scripts. So you can buy scripts that do stuff for you.
Okay.
And so, you know, I clicked on like avatar appearance. You know, I figured it'd be like clothes or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, geez, some of this stuff's kind of racy, you know, like, you know, bikini girl with tattoos all over. And then I'm like, oh, wait, there's a adult section that I hadn't even clicked on yet. Right. So, yeah, 35,000 matching items for avatar accessories. I mean, people have been at it for 10 years. You can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is something else. So you can imagine, I mean, this is just like, that's just one virtual world.
Yeah, it is. And right now it's probably the biggest.
I mean, what about EVE Online? That's like, that's true. Huge too, right? I mean, that's a space one.
Well, I was thinking virtual reality world, but yeah, a virtual world.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I guess EVE's a game.
Yeah. Well, still, it's huge. WoW is huge. And these are all still immersive virtual worlds and virtual environments. They're just, some of them have the game theme overlay. But for the most part, it's not like the people are going into these games and role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still going into the games and interacting and talking with other people and as themselves, not necessarily role-playing characters, while they're going through missions or quests or whatever in the game.
Yeah, they're not like pretending to be there, you know.
Yeah, like every now and then you'll find a role play server where people like actually get into character and do that sort of stuff. But for the most part, people playing MMOs, they're not role playing.
Right, they're themselves. They're just like in the game.
Yeah, that's just the environment they're in.
Right.
Yeah,
they're not pretending they're like Marie Antoinette or whatever.
Right.
Although that sounds like fun. So, okay, so Second Life was mind-blowing, and to imagine the you know, they've got a million users, it's nothing to sneeze at, but it's a small segment of the population, but all
it's
of a sudden...
Facebook's 1 billion users.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Facebook bought it, and Facebook owns Oculus, and Second Life not only has announced Oculus support, but there's a bunch of videos of people who actually have created clients that allow you to use Oculus to navigate Second Life. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you're not, I mean, as immersive as it is just on a two-dimensional computer monitor, if you've got that thing wrapped around your head, you're in it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody who's tried it says it's totally shocking. I haven't tried Oculus, but I've tried Google Cardboard and it is totally shocking. So that would be amazing to see what would happen if Facebook started pushing, you know, bought Second Life or partnered with Second Life and started pumping.
Made their own.
Or made, yeah. It would be, I can't imagine catching up with Second Life in any meaningful way. It is unbelievable.
I don't know. There's a lot of content there, but Facebook does have a much larger user base.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, if they get enough adoption, they have so many users that it's not going to take them it's not going to take 10 years for them to catch up with Second Life in terms of content.
Right.
If they get 5 or 10 million users even.
That's true. So boom. And then, you know, if the book was accurate about, you know, if life imitates art and the book was right, what'll end up happening is that all of whatever the dominant platform is, whether it's Facebook buying Second Life or Facebook creating their own or Microsoft doing something with Xbox. Once that happens, in the book, at least, all the other games get ported inside of that game.
Yeah.
Which is not unlike things like Farmville and other, you know, Words with Friends that are sort of like built in Facebook.
On top of the Facebook platform now. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I could totally see that happening.
Mm. And as we said last week, it's really obvious for gaming to go there first.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people are not afraid to spend a couple $100 on, you know, a headset that's going to, you know, gear that's going to make their gaming experience better. Like,
yeah. You know. Like if this was available commercially and I told Richard about it it was for gaming or it was a couple $100, he'd be on Amazon clicking the one click button right now.
Yeah, totally. So speaking of Ready Player One, as we were sort of researching for this episode, I came across an article. What I was curious about was if Zuckerberg was aware or had read Ready Player One when they decided to buy Oculus.
Okay.
And, you know, and sure enough, the book came out in 2011, which was before Rift was announced. Oculus Rift was announced. So the author, Ernest Cline, didn't know about it. And when he, when it came out, the what's the guy's name? Palmer Luckey. What a crazy name, huh?
Yeah.
That's the guy that's behind Oculus Rift. When he announced it, he invited Cline to come and check it out. And in fact, all of the new employees at Oculus are encouraged to read that book.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And when...
It's like, here's your manual for working at Oculus Rift.
This is what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
And his the author's reaction was...
if the movie doesn't come out soon, it's not going to be science fiction.
Right. Yeah, because they're making a movie of the book. And yeah. It's like, it's just going to be, you know, The Social Network 2.
Right.
Facebook Returns. So he, you know, and he said, he was like, wow, I underestimated how fast this is going to happen. Because with Facebook behind Oculus, they have almost like an unlimited amount of money to make it work.
Right, right. And
make it cheap and accessible, not cheap, but affordable. They've sold 1 or 2 million units to developers, and it's rumored to be launching this year.
I may spring for a developer one soonish.
Oh, yeah?
I mean we. Yeah, because Richard's getting into some more serious game development.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be kind of fun to play around with.
Yeah, definitely. So that'd be really cool. But everybody's, you know, we said last week, everybody's doing it. Samsung's got the Gear VR. Yeah. Which I did not realize the Gear VR is just a holder for a Galaxy Note.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's basically like a really nice version of Google Cardboard.
Huh. That kind of makes me less impressed by it, but at the same time, it makes it more affordable.
Yeah, it's $199. You can buy it now, and you know, requires that you have a Galaxy Note 4, but it's a nice phone, so it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's like, was it like cardboard with a headband?
Yeah, but it's really nice looking. It's really well done.
A nicer form factor.
Yeah, it's totally, it's the same concept though. You just jam on, you know, an Android phone in the front of it, and it's running Oculus software.
Okay, so it is compatible with Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was two proprietary different things.
Nope, not in this case. But speaking of proprietary, Sony's version, which is called Project Morpheus, is specifically PlayStation. So I read an article with the people who were working on that, and they were asking him about the, you know, if they felt competition between them and Oculus or what the deal was with that. And they said, yeah, you know, we're trying to beat them on specs and stuff, but there's a lot of, the community is very helpful because they all kind of know that they're going to sink or swim together.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about a new technology.
Mm-hmm.
If you come out and just try and dominate, then... If you dominate on a marketing front and technologically fail, you're going to kill the market.
Right. Exactly. Because everyone will buy yours and it'll stink.
Yeah. Yeah. And then no one will want anything to do with the whole technology.
Right. And the other thing he said was that apparently the Morpheus is specifically for PlayStation. So it's not exactly competition.
No, not exactly. And competition between console gaming platforms and that kind of thing is nothing new either.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of titles that are available on every console and every platform and that kind of stuff. So
good segue. Speaking of titles, I was looking around for haptic stuff because that's another big piece of the tech.
Yes.
And I found, and in fact, there's tons of it, and it's not even that new. So like, I found one going back as far as like, I think 2005, and it was a vest that had actuators that, you know, basically you're playing a first person shooter, and when you get shot, it like thumps you,
yeah, where you got shot.
Right. Kind of. And it's funny because it was kind of low tech in a way. It had a microphone. I think I understood this correctly. It has a microphone that just listened to low frequency sound coming from the game console and like explosion like sounds just rumbled you basically. So it was almost like attaching the woofer to your chest.
Right. Kind of. It's like a rumble pack for a controller. Except.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of dumb, but adds, you know, dumb in the sense of not smart technology. Also compatible with anything that has sound, which is pretty
right.
Nice.
Right, and there are all kinds of gaming chairs that have this sort of haptic technology in them too. That will, again, like you said, it's kind of dumb because it'll basically just vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have like I don't think they vibrate in like specific locations or that it tracks stuff like that. But
There is a vest that does do that. And yeah, it's called, I don't know about chairs, but this one vest is called the Third Space Haptic Vest.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a hunting vest, basically. And you just strap it on, and it's got actuators all over it, front, back, everywhere. You can even get a helmet that comes with it. So, you know, the game code is throwing off information about where your avatar is getting hit. And it, or if he gets hit with a grenade, like the whole vest and hat, yeah. the whole thing hits you. And they, you know, I watched a video of a guy, a gamer trying it for the first time, and he was like, wow, this is cool. It's really, and they're like $129. They're not, yeah, on Amazon, you just go $129. It's and the reason that you made me think of it is that it's compatible with almost 100 games right now.
Oh, wow. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. And they're all, you know, all the ones you'd want, like Call of Duty and Halo and, you know, Unreal Tournament and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. All the first person shooter type stuff where you're, where you have things like bullet wounds and grenades blowing up.
Yeah, the good games.
Yeah. That plus something like Oculus Rift.
I feel like it would take some getting used to. Like, that would be almost freaky.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten to HoloLens.
Oh, right. So, like, Microsoft had a huge announcement this week. They had, like, a big conference.
Yeah, so, yeah, their Microsoft Build.
Mm. So why don't I mute myself and you can tell the dear listener what that's all about.
Yeah, they were demoing HoloLens to a bunch of developers. And HoloLens is their augmented reality goggles, glasses, basically. It's like sunglasses with overlays of that you can put on the virtual world around you. And I had originally thought that the glasses were going to do something like, oh, they'll need to pair with some kind of Windows device. But no, they actually have a dedicated CPU, GPU, and then what Microsoft's calling an HPU, a holographic processing unit, which I'm guessing is just another CPU that just they're leveraging the additional processing power to, you know, make everything not look jagged and horrible. But in some ways it felt really cool, and then in some ways it felt like they were kind of underutilizing the technology or maybe the potential of the technology, because in this video where they demoed it, they would do things like they would take application windows and pin them to any flat surface in the room. And the windows would just like float 2 or 3 inches off the flat surface in the room.
Mm.
Or they would pull up their virtual start menu, which still had this flat Metro UI, and scroll through it using these gestures. And although they did have this 3D virtual pet dog hanging out on the floor, but in some ways that felt kind of like, yeah, everything's still flat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a limitation of the technology or if that's just a limitation of Microsoft's imagination. They still may have a more business sort of mindset to it, because, you know, I think they want people to be able to do things like create virtual offices to work in and that sort of stuff. I think they're still thinking of themselves as like a company that caters to businesses, I think. That's kind of how it came across. And so for that, this kind of makes sense. But still, I think this is going to be like well out of the price range and sort of, you know, like no one's going to want to go out and buy this for their office secretary so she can do her work by pinning her spreadsheet to the wall.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess the takeaway for this week is that this stuff is really right around the corner, and it remains to be seen if people are going to dig it or not. But from my experience with the few things I've played with, I think certain people are going to love it.
Yeah, especially gamers. That's where it's going to hit first. And it's going to be big there. And it's really not that far off at all.
The good news, you won't see people walking around on the street with that, like, glass.
That's true, you won't. HoloLens, you might, but you know, some kind of augmented reality, you might. Virtual reality, no.
Yeah, it will be confined to the home. Well, all right, folks, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.